Hello and welcome to both an advertisement and a sex toy nerd out. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. So, if you're looking to experience something new, if you're looking to expand your toy chest, if you've been fantasizing about surprising your partner with something, if you want to give yourself something, well, here's an offer that you can't really resist. Because if you go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. Yeah, lots of sex stuff. Oh, yeah. That's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs plus a free extra gift. And to top it off, free shipping. Look at that. So many things, right? But you've got to use SexNerd as the promo code at checkout. Now, here's the thing. I went on to adamandeve.com and I noticed that they have this new toy called the Womanizer Pro. Womanizer Pro is a toy that I saw when I was in New Zealand last year. And now it's in American stores. And it is a toy that just highlights how different our bodies are, because there is a group of people with clits that this is rocking their minds. Their worlds are just exploding with pleasure. And it looks like a mouse, computer mouse, with a little sort of offshoot from it that's a suction cup. It basically sucks your clit, like sucks and pushes air on it. And there's this whole suction thing and some vibration. And it's just a party in your pants. For people who love specific clits and sensation. Someone like me looks at that when I'm in New Zealand going, ha, that'll never catch on. That's the worst thing ever. So if you're like me, and if someone looks at my clit, I like go, ah, too much. Don't buy this toy. But if you are the person who's like, oh my God, all the clit stuff. Oh my God, all the clit stuff. And you want to encourage blood flow and engorgement, you should check out the Womanizer Pro. Oh yeah. It'll be available in a few days. Like if you're listening to this the day it's released, it's just getting back on the shelves because it's so such a hot item. People are freaking out about it. So use Sex Nerd as your promo code. Go to adamandeve.com, get 50% off one item, almost anything in the Adam and Eve store, 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. So just use that offer code, SEXNERD, at adamandeve.com. Let me know what you think on the Twitters or wherever, and I'll see you on the internet.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
We're doing it. Oh, it's so exciting. Here we are. Here we are again. Happy Wednesday or whatever it is that you downloaded this and or streaming it. So I'm excited to tell you about things. Oh my goodness. I'm growing as a person, you guys. I'm getting my shit together. Are you getting your shit together? Maybe it's springtime. Maybe it's my medication that I'm taking. I don't know, but I feel so good. Okay, so before we get into this week's episode, I need to tell you some stuff. First of all, let me tell you about this new project I've got going called Profile Punch Up. So my friend Rachel Porter, who has been a photographer for 13 years, I've been a sex educator for 7 years. It's my 7-year sex ed birthday this month. That's right. Yay me. It's 7-year itch. And that means I'm online working with a photographer to punch up your dating profile. Now, no matter where you are in the world, she and I have decided that 3 days a week, when we have a little bit more time, we have a calendar online where you can pay for a tune-up over Skype with us, and that can be from anywhere. Or if you're in the LA area, we'll punch up your profile. So over Skype, that means that I am going to make sure that your profile is a pleasure to look at and a pleasure to read through. And she's going to tune up your photo selection and make sure you are the sexiest that you or sexiest or more attractive, most attractive that you want to be. If you want, like, if you're looking for Mr. Right or, you know, an awesome night, I'm not judging, whatever it is. Anyway, that's really exciting and it energizes me. So profilepunchup.com. Online classes, oh my goodness. This is the week I get to teach copulation 101, the P in the V. That's right. It's all about the basics, which I just told Tristan Taramino on her show, Sex Out Loud. Hey, I'm doing a P in the V class. And she's like, oh my God, what? Of course. Like, why wouldn't, what? Like, she just, all of us sex ed people are like, oh, we're just not talking about penis and vagina sex. We're constantly talking about oral and butt stuff and kink and fisting. And we don't talk about how to, yeah, the basic one. So copulation 101 this week. I'm so thankful I get to do that. And next week, Boning 101. The week after that, Boning 201. And then I finish it off with Booty Basics. So April 20th, 7 p.m., L.A. and London time, Copulation 101. And so it goes for the next couple weeks, Wednesdays. Now, if you want to be on my mailing list for when I very rarely want to like let you know that things are happening because I'm trying so many things right now. Like I'm really, you know, like after a breakup when you just want to just hump everything or try everything, whatever it is, like that energy is. I feel like that's the way it is with my relationship with my career right now, is I'm getting back into podcasting. I'm excited about online classes. I'm figuring out how to, sex ed the world. Oh, so sexual. I even want to do live podcasts streamed online so that you can download it for free here, but if you want to tune in, you can just watch me interview somebody. Because I'm like, why don't I just do that? I can do that. That's technology. We have the internet. You have the internet. We have that in common. Oh. So anyway, I'm excited. It really does feel like a marriage, like a long-term relationship with my career. You know, it evolves and changes. It's not new relationship energy. It's not that polyamory stuff anymore. This is deep 7 years in. How do I want to have a relationship that will last a lifetime? Maybe I should work on dating myself instead of... Aristotle, tell me to stop talking now. Oh, God. Now it's turning into therapy. That's all. Go to sexnerdsandra.com. And I'm available for college talks and et cetera. And as always, Facebook. Oh, and you can sign up for my mailing list on Facebook. So exciting. Aristotle. So many places. Aww. In my mind, I call him the silent drummer because he's this really quiet guy, but he also is a drummer. Like he's a percussionist. It's pretty cool. He should teach me some stuff. He quietly nodded. It's adorable. Anyway, all right, I hope you're doing well, and go Team Fun.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
I don't know.
More tequila?
Are you comfortable mentioning that we just had tequila?
I'm
fine. A lightweight.
It's Taco Tuesday, so please. Be like, we're interviewing on Taco Tuesday, and that meant two shots of tequila, por favor.
Oh, gosh. I forgot that that's like a national holiday for some
yes.
people. I love that. Salm Isadora, are you cool to hang out for a few minutes and chat with me about the things?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Because we've been talking for a while. And I've really enjoyed it because this is our first time hanging out.
Yes.
Yeah. So, where do I even start? We are at the ANME trade show. It's all sex toys all the time, which you actually were like rolling your eyes a little bit at because you're like delicious and wonderful. And I don't need lube. I don't need any of this.
I went up to a lube stand and he was like, well, what do you use for lube? And I was like, nothing. It's like, I have 20 orgasms anyway.
Uh-huh. And what did their face say?
I don't pay enough attention. I'm too happy about having the 20 orgasms to worry about what he was thinking, but
good. That's good. It's a good
yes.
way to do it.
Oh, but what he asked me is like, but what about when you give a hand job? And I was like, well, spit. Mm-hmm. It's way hotter.
Mm-hmm. And butt stuff's not a thing in your world. It's just...
I am really uptight. I tried to get into that. I was like, really, you need to be more into everything. That's a blockage. Get over that blockage. Learn to love anal. And I tried, and I don't think it's my thing. It's like, I will just really enjoy what I'm already good at. Mm-hmm. I'll leave that to someone else. Somebody else can specialize in anal.
Yeah, we can all have our niche.
Butt stuff.
Yeah, it's okay. Other people have niche butt stuff.
I mean, yeah.
Okay, so what do you do in the world? Like, you're building an empire.
Yes.
I love it. You have a great website. Tell us about the stuff.
So I am a sex expert, and my background comes from Tantra. Mm-hmm. So I really came from studying yoga and then going to India. I spent 9 years going back and forth. I had a teacher, and I was really interested in sexual energy and, you know, how people can use that to live their full sexual potential in their full lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really funny. Like, that's so healthy and wonderful. I'm like, tell me about cougars.
Yes. All of it's true.
Because you're getting snapped up by, you know, production companies and people are, because you're, I mean, I'm going to objectify you now.
Wait, who objectifies me?
I'm about to objectify you.
Oh, please do.
You're gorge. You're super gorgeous.
Thank you.
And so coming out soon, you're going to be on a show called Cougar City, Cougar World, Cougar Planet.
Cougar Club.
Cougar Club.
Yes.
But can it be just, in my mind, it'll be Cougar Planet. But Cougar Club. Mm-hmm. And you get sexy on there. You bring your sex positivity and your sensuality to the show. How's that feeling for you?
You know, so I got approached to do that show by Playboy, and at first, you know, I wasn't sure. I'd already been looking into doing TV because, to me, you know, if you want to get this message to the most people possible, then use entertainment, use TV, get in their living rooms and like literally change what they see and what they think about sex. And so I was already looking into doing TV, and then Playboy brought me this offer to be on a show called Cougar Club, and it's a reality show. It's kind of like, you know, Sex in the City, but real life, or, you know, along the formats of like, you know, Real Housewives or whatever. And so the caveat was it's nudity and that we really have sex. And so at first I was like, like, good God, what does that mean? And then what I told them, I thought about it and I said, okay, I really do believe in making sex more normalized in our world and sex positivity. I think that we'd have less like abuse and rape culture and all these problems that we have if people had more, you know, sex was more normalized in our society.
Yeah.
So I thought about it and I was like, okay, here's my caveat. I won't fake an orgasm.
Ooh.
Because I thought of all the, you know, like porn and all the examples of sex that people see on TV, almost all of it is people faking orgasms. And so to actually like not do anything that wasn't real and to present a grown-ass woman who really enjoys sex without shame and just like living my life and doing what I do, I thought that might be really liberating to a lot of people and even other women who might think the way that I am around sexuality or my body or comfortable, you know, like dating, I thought that might be liberating for them and empowering.
Mm-hmm. How are you feeling about it? Because it's already shot, but
it's
hasn't
already
released
shot.
Yet.
It's already shot. It hasn't come out yet. I mean, I'm excited. And then sometimes I'm like, you know, oh no, because I didn't grow up like this. Like I didn't grow up in a super sexually open household. I grew up in a super religious background, which is why Psalm is actually my real name. And it's from the Bible.
I thought that was your tantra name.
No, that's my real name. I was born with a very religious name and grew up on basically, like a Christian cult wearing a bonnet. I grew up in a log cabin with no electricity or indoor plumbing. And, you know, we were taught as women, cover your bodies or you'll make men sin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and of course I went in completely another direction. But that was just because there was a lot of hypocrisy around that. And I had abuse and then I had to heal myself. And so I healed myself with yoga and with tantra. And so now it's really like my mission to share that with the world that, you know, we would have so much less of those problems around sexuality if we had a more accepting, mindful, conscious, you know, around our sexuality and less taboo.
Yeah, it sounds like you had an extreme version of what many people have where sexual information is held back.
Yeah.
There's tons of repression. And then it sounds like there was sexual violence in your childhood.
Yeah.
And so when that happens, then you don't have the information, you have no one to go to. And so many people have that. It's sadly a common story.
Yeah.
And you have the bonnet extreme version of that. How old were you when you broke away? And
so I was 17 when I ran away from my religious boarding school. And I just reached a point where I was like, you know what? This is all bullshit. And we're being told one thing and other things are happening. And I was just really unhappy, especially with that background of abuse. And so I just like had some inner rebel kind of rise up in me, and I left that and decided to start trying to like do it my own way. And I guess I've been doing that since then. You just like all the way to Playboy.
Yeah. That is so cool. Okay, so I am 32 years old.
Yes.
And you are... Are you comfortable talking about age?
I'm totally comfortable talking about my age.
How old are you?
I'm 41.
All right, so here we are.
Yes.
9 years.
Yes, queen.
Hallelujah. 9 years between us.
Yes.
And at some point, I am going to be considered a cougar.
You could be considered a cougar now.
True.
Based on how much younger they are than you. That's what I... So if you dated someone like 23, you could still be a cougar.
It's so funny. It's
you're like no, I am not a cougar. I reject the term.
You know what? I'm fine with it. It's funny because now I talked to Kelly Shibari about this, like different porn categories,
right.
And how MILF kind of came out of.
Yes, yeah, the and 90s. It's one of like the most popular categories: MILFs, cougars,
all of that. But as a woman in society's eyes. I am seen as I can be barely legal.
Right.
I can be a MILF or cougar.
You're like, I can be any of these things.
But I can't just be a person. I've got to be in, like, when it comes to attraction.
Right.
It's, and I even notice on dating sites now that I am looked over because I'm in my 30s now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that people in their 30s and 40s.
I don't think that's a thing at all. Like, I'm on Tinder and I have like 20, they're younger. They just get younger. I swear, I promise. If you're 32, when you turn 40, they'll all be younger.
Well, no, this is okay.
Like every request will be from like a 23-year-old.
So, and I guess I should give a little bit of context. So Solomon and I were talking about what to talk about and you have background and, oh God, Kama Sutra and going to India and Tantra. And you have all kinds of courses and things.
Yeah.
And when you talked about your upcoming show and this idea of cougars, and I'm like, I have never really talked about the aging process and I identify as agender. I don't feel like a woman at all. But at the same time, like when I get turned on, yeah, I might go into very binary ways in terms of my behavior, and I can be very girly, and there's a lot of things that I can be that can be read as womanly. Plus I just look like a woman, so whatever.
Right.
So here we are. I mean, you're like so, I mean, you to me read as incredibly womanly.
Mm-hmm.
Like you are really like classically hot.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And it's, and so it's like, I totally get that younger guys are hitting on you. And I will notice that guys that are a couple years younger than me are now like totally cool with dating me. And I've never dated people who are younger than me.
Oh, okay. I always dated younger.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's, I mean, like, I think I turned 35 or 36 and was the first time somebody said to me, being a cougar. And I was like, what, bitch? I was like, I've always dated people 5 years younger.
Starting at, like,
God, I don't really, I mean,
20s?
Like, when I was 30, so I was 25, like, you know, I was pretty much, I think there's just something to the energy.
Huh.
I mean, when I want to be, like, more crude about it, I used to, you know, like, hey, younger guys can, you know, they last longer in bed, and guys my own age sometimes just have a lot more baggage.
Huh.
Doesn't sound nice, but, you know,
no,
like
I've
as far as just like
about
an optimistic attitude and a lot of energy and like wanting to have fun, you know, because I like right now I'm not looking to get married. I'm not looking to have kids. So really I want to have somebody to like enjoy myself, have fun and have great sex with. And that tends to be younger guys. They want the same thing.
That is a good point.
I think it's a great point. And then I also think when you see older men with younger women, the older man usually has more money. So there's more of that kind of dynamic why the younger woman finds him attractive. Whereas I think younger men with older women, it's purely more of like a physical and sexual connection.
Or less economics at play.
Yeah, it literally is just about erotic connection, the erotic energy.
It feels so weird. I mean, of course, to each their own. Like, I'm not trying to...
Right.
I've just started to really start processing this because I'm noticing that I don't look like I'm in my 20s anymore. And I'm okay with this. Like, this isn't... I'm not intending this to be a conversation about, like, freaking out about aging.
Right.
But it's like, oh, the distribution of muscle and fat on my body is flagging me for a different age. My skin, like, is... And I still think I feel super sexy and vibrant. But I also know that I'll be attracting different people. My sexuality is changing. But the idea of, I guess, what is it about me? I feel weird getting with people who are younger than me. It feels really weird. I have younger siblings, though. Do you have any younger siblings?
I do.
Oh, and it's totally not a thing.
Not a thing.
It's so weird. The idea of
but I think, like, I don't think of myself as a certain age. I just feel a certain way, you know? And I think for me getting older, like, I turned 40 and I just stopped giving as many fucks. Mm-hmm. And I do what I want, you know, and I enjoy myself more. And when I was younger, I think I had more hang-ups about my body. I was more worried, you know, oh, what do they think about this? Or I was more insecure. And I feel like I just, like, I had a joke. I'm like, I think I gave all my fucks away in the first 40 years, and I literally ran out of fucks. So when somebody comes to me now and they're like, I'm like, you know what? I really wish I could give you a fuck, but I gave them all away. Like, they're all gone. I have no fucks left to give anybody.
Fresh out
of fucks. I don't think they're coming back. So is it like doing the show for Playboy? I was like, I will be a grown-ass woman who does not give a fuck, living my life, and you can let other people see that.
I cannot wait for the show to come out so that there's some feedback and just because...
Oh, wait, and by the way, So I was like very editing about what I would show. Mm-hmm. So I was like, there won't be any shots of me giving blowjobs because mm-hmm. I didn't feel that was empowering. Uh-huh. Every shot, I was like, I'm on top. And it looks like an amazing yoga pose. When I'm 80, my grandchildren will look at that. I'll be like, yes, bitch, work.
Nice. Oh, I appreciate that. I'm sorry. I'm waving at people. We're in the hangout zone of the A&M convention. So there are people walking by. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So I love that you are so incredibly just full of pride at your decisions. Mm. I feel like there's an older generation where they're like, oh, you can't be shown on camera being sexy. Otherwise, it's evil and you'll be like,
you know,
judged.
I think it goes back to that rebelliousness. I mean, I feel like all those people who create these morals for us are usually the ones doing the really weird, sick shit. You know, that's mm-hmm. where you're going to have, you know, the Duggars bullshit. You know, they're like, everyone wear a long dress and wait till you're married to have sex. And they're bothering just regular people who want to have sex consensually as adults. And they're diddling people in the closet or underage. So I feel like the moralizing around sex is usually coming from a negative place.
Yeah.
And so I think there's some of that rebelliousness in my mind. I'm like, you know what? F that. You know, like,
F that.
Just F that. Fuck that. I'm going to go, like, they're just sitting there like, you know what? America, watch me have an orgasm. Watch me ride your face, America.
Oh, my God. Now you're going to run for president.
Just stay still. So, America, just stay still. Just stay still, and I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. I know just what I need. Thank you, America. Yes.
Tell me about this Cougar Club. So yeah. There were four other women.
Four other women.
And you in a house, were you... Did you all
I mean, we didn't get locked in the house together. I went home mm-hmm. in between. And it was really an interesting thing because I saw an all-female dynamic, which I haven't had in forever. It felt like we were in junior high, just all women. And I was like, wow, I really am the boss bitch. Like, you know, I really am. You know, I'd be like, excuse me to, you know, the girl. I'd be like, these women need food or like, whatever it was.
To the crew
or to whatever. I was just the bossiest bitch there. and then people were like, be careful. They're going to make you fight with each other. And it was opposite. Like sometimes I really, after 6 weeks of filming, mm-hmm. like almost every day, you just get raw and you get vulnerable and you get pissed off. And to have to be with the same people their days, I really didn't like the other women, and mm-hmm. we still had to get along. So it was almost the opposite. I felt like
they wanted you to get along.
I felt there were days where I was like, if you wanted the bitch fight, you'd have it. Oh. Because that's how I really feel.
Do they provide you men? How does this work?
So they like set up parties and stuff where men were there, and maybe you could meet the men. But I ended up finding someone who I'd actually dated in real life. I was like, you know what? Again, for me, it was like, let me keep this really, really authentic and real and whatever. You know, even though it's a reality show, I, like I said, I was not faking orgasms. And it was somebody I'd actually really met, you know, who I dated.
Oh. And so you hung out in a house together and hung out with hot young guys. And every so often you'd go off and have sex with one of them. This is
no, like,
and then you'd fight for a prize. Oh, did you get put on an island?
No, there weren't any islands. No, so we would come together in the house to film the scenes, talking about what we did, and usually our dates were on our own. So they would film us going out on the dates on our own.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
I see.
And the guy that I ended up, who was on the show with me, was somebody I met at a bar like 3 months before that, who I think is like 24. So he was quite a bit younger.
Okay. So we were talking before we started recording about how that you have a strong power to you. Like, there's just a sense like, oh, you could be a dom if you wanted to.
Right.
You haven't been. Like, that's a thing. And
cougars and dominatrixes.
Totally. And I mean, it's not like, I don't feel like every person as they age needs to get more dominant.
Right.
Fierce. You do have a certain je ne sais quoi about your sexual energy.
Mm.
And so it feels like you're in the right profession in terms of just really honing in on that. And that's
right.
Amazing. And I kind of shut down mine a lot. I mean, I was telling you, but but still people are like, there is something sexual about this.
Why
person.
Are you so secretly sexual?
I sense the things with your eyes.
Yeah. Well, and I'd been telling you, my whole life, I always felt like I was perceived as very sexual. And I had my first orgasm when I was like 5 on a swing set pole. And so I've always had this ability to tap into this sexual energy. And then, like, I remember being in my 20s and just, like, walking in a room and it'd be very polarizing. Like, you know, and that men would look at me like, what is that sexy thing? And sometimes I didn't know what to do. Especially in my 20s, I didn't know what to do or how to give that direction. And now I feel like I do, you know what to do. I know how to own it. I know how to give it direction. I know how to give it a purpose instead of just kind of being a very erotic person that now is like has a purpose, which is to help other people unlock their erotic nature and give them permission to, you know, to tap into their sexuality.
Have you thought about teaching a class on how to be the cougar?
How to be a cougar. I did that. It's the TV show. Watch the TV show, bitches.
Okay, so there's...
That's
so
my
there
class.
Some...
Just watch it. No, so on the show, they followed me teaching my workshops, and one of them was a woman's empowerment workshop. So I teach retreats, and one of the things I teach that I learned in India is a tantric breast massage. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of women don't know they can have an orgasm just from nipple stimulation. Mm-hmm. And so in this workshop that I did, we have like 20 women in the room, and I'm having them do, you know, like first some yoga and then doing the breast massage. And one of the women who is a castmate of mine had like multiple orgasms. Mm-hmm. And it was just a really beautiful moment because it was really authentic. Again, it wasn't like, to me, the part that's empowering, it wasn't like, oh, let's fake it because the camera's on. It was like the camera can witness something really beautiful and different than I think people usually see around sexuality.
Where do I go in India to take breast tantra classes?
You have to come to me now.
It just seems interesting. Like, India, there's a lot of issues in India. I have a lot of listeners in India.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's not like they're
I can't
all
tell you. I every day I'll have five inbox messages on Facebook from Indian men being like, hello, ma'am, I'm a virgin. Please help me.
Yes.
I've been there, and it's a very sexually restrictive society. So it really only speaks to the fact that I feel like this is like literally I'm reincarnated as a sex goddess to come to the planet and to help people unlock their sexuality and stop being so messed up around it. So I managed to go to India and find like the one place in India that was
Calcutta?
I ended up going to Calcutta, but it wasn't in Calcutta that I first found the tantric breast massage.
An hour north of Calcutta.
It was in the south. It was in the jungle. Yes. which if we want to get into it, I mean, the oldest images of God, like when we go back 5,000 years, were of a goddess with breasts and like a vagina, and they're very sexual and very erotic. And so that was normal then, like that was normalized. And in the past like 2,000 years, we've gone into more patriarchal structures of, you know, of religion and society, where now it sounds crazy. You're like, oh, God is sex, God is fuck, God is having an orgasm, you know, or like God has a vagina, and all that sounds crazy. But that's just because we've come so far from being connected, I think, to our bodies and have become so like heady. Everything's, you know, we're very disconnected from our sexuality.
Gosh, I don't know what you're talking about on the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast. We're not in our heads at all.
What do you mean, the nerds?
No, we're totally in our bodies all the time. Just multiple orgasms constantly. Mm, mm. Oh, we are different people. I'm trying to get more connected, though. I'm getting more connected.
You seem pretty connected.
Hello. Hi. You realize how many people have walked by and checked you out? Like, I'm loving this.
Sandra's like, you know, I'm really unaware. Like, I've had people go, you know, walking down the street with you is just really weird. But, like, I'm 5'2". And, like...
Well, in heels.
In like... Oh, crazy no, I mean, stiletto heels at 5'2", and I'll walk down the street, and I just don't, because I don't give a shit. I'm like, I know where I'm going. I've got things to do. So, like, I don't pay attention to anybody.
I have never been the polished feminine power. Like, yes. I'm more the rumpled tomboy that kind of will clean up for when I need to for things. But, like, you know, you're sparkly, and you did the makeup, and... And you work out, and then there's the heels, and you got the hoops, and the power waves.
Yes, queen.
And you got the great bone structure, but, like, it's all, like, how do people, you just take good care of yourself.
I do, because I think it's just, like, it's like polishing the diamond. You know, it's like, it's, if I'm going to go out.
You have to think yourself think of yourself as a diamond first.
I guess so. But like, if I'm going to leave the house, you know, I was going to like, life's too short not to wear high heels.
That's a funny joke.
Like, life's too short to be monogamous.
Oh my God.
Life is way too short to only have sex with one person.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yes.
But I'm laughing. I think I'm laughing at our difference in attitudes about
high heels.
Right,
because somebody else would be like, life's too short to wear those stilettos.
Yeah, I am in a long-term feud with high heels. Oh, yeah. There are no high heels coming anywhere near
me. When I put on high heels, I feel like walking sex. I feel like, you know, just it makes me feel sexy and powerful, and maybe because I'm short.
That's how, like, I feel in military boots.
Okay. So that's what rocks it for you. Because it comes from the inside. It's whatever, when you walk around, like, here's my whole thing. I always tell them, it's not, like, sexy comes from the inside. Your idea of, like, what's beautiful and whether your body's this type or this size, that's all from outside. Being sexy comes from inside. It's like you stop and you look in the mirror before you leave your house, and you look in the mirror, and I'm like, yes, I would fuck me. Mm-hmm. That's sexy. And you walk around exuding like that, like, I would fuck me. So why wouldn't you?
So get in a place where when you look in the mirror, you want to bang yourself.
Yes.
Here's a thought. I recently posted, what would you say if you heard that somebody is the heaviest they've ever been, but the sexiest they've ever felt? And several people were like, yay, good for that. Yeah, good job. And then a few people were like, well, I mean, you know, because it's totally just confidence. And I was so offended because I feel the sexiest I've ever felt, even though I'm the heaviest that I've ever felt. And I was kind of working through, like, what does that mean? It's so strange. And it feels like kind of like against the rules. You're supposed to like yourself if you're heavier.
Yeah.
But it dawned on me that if you're not model skinny and model fit, suddenly sexiness has to be a confidence thing. And it can't be like, no, your body is really hot.
Right.
It's just not what society tells you is hot.
Right. I think what makes bodies sexy is what they can feel. You know, so what sexy is like, you know, if you like... If I run my fingertips on my own, like, arm, and suddenly I have all these, like, erotic feelings, and it's very sensual, like, that's sexy. And anybody has skin. You know, anybody can close their eyes and feel that. So I think, you know, it's... And then, likewise, I know a lot of models who are, like, real thin, and they don't feel sexy, and they don't love themselves because they're always thinking, what does everybody else think of me?
They're really not in their body. They're not feeling.
Yeah, and that's, like, part of, like, being 40 is just, like, I don't give a fuck anymore. Zero fucks. Like, I feel sexy because I feel sexy. You know?
Yeah. You feel like being in shape, because you are in shape, and you work out. I mean,
that's part of what makes me feel good about myself, though, because, and that isn't so much, I mean, yes, it's looking in the mirror, and to me, it's more like, I feel sexy when I know I worked hard, I did everything I could, and now I'm looking at the result of that, you know, so it's like, yes, that's rewarding, but it's also, it makes a chemistry in my body that feels sexier. Like, when I am not working out and not taking care of myself, I don't feel sexy, because, like, I feel more shitty and crappy and bloated and, you know, like, bleh, bleh.
Yeah, Sometimes, this is so sad to even compare them. When I go up a flight of stairs, and I'm a little like, whew, well, that was some stairs I wasn't thinking about. And then I'm tired for a moment, and then I'm like, get this rush of like, fuck yeah, that feels kind of hot. Because like, yeah. there's something about having done some work and then getting that slight, just a little bit of a burn, and be like, it's nice.
I think it's it's the same boss. Like, I'm a boss. Like, sometimes, you know, if I do something really well, I'm just like, yes. It's that same, like, I would have sex with me. Oh, you just killed that. Like, I just, if I'm a speaker somewhere and I realize, oh, you just killed that, I would take you to dinner and have sex with you now. You sexy bitch. You just own that.
Get a milkshake. You deserve it. I just aim all my sexual energy toward food. Okay, so I'm 32 and I want to, I don't want to feel, because I tend to have a pattern dating old people older than me.
Yeah.
And the playing field, there's a lot more people who are younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
Why does it skeeve me out to date someone younger than me? And it totally is. I guess you've the logistics of it just make more sense than when you lay it out the way you did earlier.
You know what I think? I think we all just we're wired for whatever reason. So I think like I am skeeved out by older guys because I had sexual violence at a young age. So when I literally sometimes I'd be like, no, old man, you don't get to touch this.
Okay.
Like I literally will have a visceral reaction of like, this is not for you.
Oh, wow. Like, that's so interesting.
And I think that that's a psychological thing. Mm-hmm. And then I think sometimes women who like older guys, like, or it could go the other way where I know some women, then they have a daddy issue that's so attractive to them. So, I mean, it's interesting why we're wired. The psychology behind sex is so, so, so fascinating to me, which is why I love what I do. It's like, if you want to really get to the heart of a human being and their psyche and why do they behave the way they do, sex will get you there. It's the fastest way to get there.
It drills down real fast.
Drills down. Drill down.
Oh, yeah. Get in there.
Drop your pants and drill down. We're going to get to the bottom of this.
Okay. So that really helped clarify something, the trauma piece, and like that it's sort of the going older, kind of you cut off from that and you look younger.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got stuff where I feel really safe with older guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of sibling associations with younger.
Okay.
But I don't want those. I wanna date all over the place. Like, darn it. Now, do you feel like, I know you haven't even thought about it as cougar dating until just recently, because that's just the natural way of things. But do you feel like as you've aged, dating has changed, or do you feel like you have to call the shots more as the older person?
No, because I don't like doing that. So I think like I always want a certain amount of, there were some older men just skeeving on us.
On you. There was all this eye contact at you. And I'm just,
see, I was like, old man, stop looking at my tits. They're not for you. you know what? I don't think I take charge that much when I date younger guys, because I still like, I want to be taken. I want to be the woman. I like, that's hot to me, because I'm like the boss bitch all day.
I don't really understand it.
It means like, you say where we're going to eat dinner. You find a cool, like I make decisions all day long. I'm making critical decisions that come down to me being the one all day. So like, I love it when a guy's like, we're doing this, or this is what's happening. That, you know, like, and I'm like, great. I'm happy to go along with that.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that, like that to me, I get to be more in the feminine role. So even if they're younger, I still do that. I tend to date like very alpha men anyway, even if they're younger.
I see. Take charge.
Yes.
All right. I don't
take charge. Even if they're younger, yes, daddy.
So I guess if one tends to date beta older people,
yeah.
And I kind of reject.
You're like if one.
Well,
but by the way, just on a side note, you're a sex expert. Have you noticed people always come to me and they're like, so is it normal if someone has this, da, 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 da. And I'm always like, you're telling on yourself. You're telling, because like, I'm like, that someone is usually them, right? I get that all the time anyway.
The context of my public workshops, and people can just approach me, it's so just, let's create a really phenomenal oral sex experience that people just kind of just break it down and be like, look, I'm dealing with this, or I'm dating somebody who's dealing with this.
Yeah.
I don't get many, my friend is really, unless it's literally their friend and I can tell it's their friend.
No, this is more like when I'm out to dinner with people and they're like, you do what? That's so interesting. And then they'll be like, is it, since you're a sex expert, is it normal when someone likes...
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and it's like always they're telling on themselves to me. I'm like...
Yeah, they're vaguely asking about an issue that
And so basically I view a big part of my role as a sex expert is to tell people, you have the permission to be how you are or who you are. There's no morality of what's right or wrong or even normal. There's results. So I just like, are you happy with the results you're getting in your life? Take normal off the table. Take right and wrong off the table. And if you don't like what you keep getting, then you have to change what you're doing. But really, that's it.
What about people who are chronically single and they don't know what they're doing wrong? They don't like the results they're getting.
So then they're doing something. Well, and those are the people I think who bitch a lot. Or, you know, like, so let's take an example. Like, you know, I'll meet some women who are like, oh, men only like this kind of woman. And then I'm like, you and the way you're talking is so unattractive right now. It is such like an angry, bitter, blaming turnoff. I'm like, what can you do for you? Like, what would make you feel sexy so you walked around saying everybody wants to have sex with me because I love myself. I want to have sex with them. Then you will start attracting people. I promise. You know, like I had a mom who at some point she was like, oh, all men cheat and da 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 da. And she went, I was like, that's not going to happen to me because I love men. You know, like she's like, it's like men are dogs. If you talk about never being the one asked to date or no one ever wants you, that's going to keep happening. But, you know, if you start exuding that you are, you're attracted to other people, that's a big part of it. It's like, I love men, so men approach me. They can feel that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. This is a recent thing. I don't know. Like, I've noticed it also just in some of the geekier circles that I run in. I'm not the only person who does this, but there might be attraction, but there is a complete wall that just shuts down where there is no bleeding of any signaling that I'm...
No what?
No, there is no bleeding of any signals. It's like poker face.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of people who just shut it down, and there might be intense attraction. Like, I might have intense attraction to someone, and right. I show zero signs of being attracted. So you're comfortable with someone noticing that you're attracted to them.
I'm comfortable with them noticing, but I still like, I like them to approach me. I call that the art of seduction.
How do you show them, what signals do you tend to give off, do you
think? It's eye contact and it's vibes. I mean, sometimes like, it's just like vibing, you know, it's like putting a scent out. Like, I believe we still have pheromones. Like, you know, you just like create that scent. You're like, you. And if you like think it to yourself, I did this as a test one time. I was like at a track and there's this really hot guy running track, and I was like, if I don't say anything and I just think to myself, I want you to come over here and talk to me, I want you to come over and talk to me, and I didn't even look at him or make eye contact, and then he came over and started talking to me.
Superpowers. You have superpowers.
Yes.
Okay.
But I think most people have superpowers and they don't know, but they're super, what they say over and over again is negative self-talk. They're like, you know, nobody ever asked me out. Nobody ever asked me out. So you walk around, nobody's going to ever ask you out. If you walk around saying, people want me, or I feel really beautiful, or that person's going to come over and talk to me, it'll happen.
What about people who tend to be the pursuers? Like, society demands that men tend to make the moves. And so obviously we're not doing a podcast just for the lady folk in the world.
Yes.
People who are looked to make the move.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of self-talk do you think they would help them be more successful?
I think it's the confident self-talk. It's like, you know, I'm attractive. People want to talk to me. And also just knowing, I think, take things less personally. So, you know, and that's part of getting older and just the zero fucks syndrome that I have now. You know, like things before, if somebody didn't like me, I would have been like, oh my God, that means something's wrong with me and no one else will ever like me. And like, it's like, oh, it goes to my past. Like, oh, that's because, you know, I got messed up when I was younger, and oh, my rest of my life will be like that. And this one moment in time predicates my past and my future and everything because I'm taking it personally. And now when something happens or something doesn't work out with someone, I'm like, they probably got a lot going on with their life. You know, like that moment didn't work. What, okay, let's move on to the next moment. So the confidence of, I think, not taking as personally. And like, you have to understand a lot of people that you're going to go hit on, like them rejecting you or even how someone treats you. Let's say you're in a relationship and somebody's treating you kind of shitty or they aren't giving you back you know, the same amount of desire you're giving them. How they treat you has more to do with where they're at that time in their life than your value or worth. And I think that's something men and women would really benefit from understanding.
Everyone in the world.
Everyone in the world.
Yeah.
I think we take, you know, it's so personally, like my worth is based on whether somebody wants to date me, somebody wants to be committed to me, somebody wants to have sex with me, somebody talks to me when I go up to the med bar. You know, it's that's not your self-worth.
I have a question.
Yes.
This is kind of a weird question. It feels weird.
Okay. I love weird questions.
When you've been dating these younger people.
Wait.
What? Oh, sorry. You're not, you don't have microphone on. Why? You don't have headphones on. Why did I whisper it? When you're dating somebody who's younger than you.
Yes.
Do you ever get into the conversation of, oh, you're not like other older women. You're different.
I think they know better than to say that to me. I would say, I think they know I would probably just chop their balls out and send them out the front door.
Oh, okay. They're like, you look hot for your age.
Yeah, that wouldn't go well. I think I like actually have one of my lovers said something like that, and he was like, blah, blah, blah. I think he actually said blah, 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 something about middle age, and I was like, middle age, what? And he was like, no, I was just trying to tease you. Blah, blah. I was like, my vagina's closed to you for a little while, sir. You go find something better somewhere else, because I know you won't. <It's> like...
I feel like I'm asking you questions all around the world. Are you doing okay on time and stuff?
I'm fine.
Okay. Okay. If we're going to talk about the aging process and sex and date, we're kind of all over the place, but this is really fun.
Yes.
I'm noticing something, and this isn't in dating, but it's people who have partnered and then are aging together.
Yeah.
And then are finding at some point that like, oh, I'm not attracted to my partner anymore.
Yeah.
Especially because of body changes. And I've met enough people who've been through divorces now because, or breakups because somebody gained weight or there was something that just seemed like kind of a superficial reason to break up. Oh, you made a face. Mm. Tell me more about that face.
I mean, I think that that becomes an easy thing to say. And I think it's an easy thing, like you were saying, you know, oh, nobody ever, I'm not the one people hit on. Or, you know, like, that was superficial. Somebody left me because I gained weight. But I think there's sometimes reasons behind why people gain weight or how they gain weight, which are a lot bigger. And I've also seen situations where long-term people are married, one partner just stops having sex with the other partner. And 6 months goes by. It's like, what do you think is going to happen? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that to stay together, that there is kind of a responsibility to take care of yourself if we're talking about weight. And that, I mean, there's different ranges of that. But I mean, there's people sometimes where they gain weight and you can tell they're just like buffering their body. Like they stopped caring or they stopped putting time and energy in that. And they're kind of like, it's kind of like, F you, you know, you should love me anyway. But it's like, but do you love yourself is more... That's the kind of weight gain I'm talking about, where you can see somebody just kind of like doesn't love themselves enough to take care of themselves. And then they're sort of like, well, you married me, so, you know, you're the jerk if you do something else.
I have seen that.
Yeah.
And I understand. That's part of why I use the word superficial, because there's a lot more going on there.
Yeah.
But there's also where, you know, a person might be on medication, life changes. Everyone's gaining weight and it's just everyone's comfortable or just aging. But the person who, let's say, is no longer attractive to the other person is still incredibly vibrant, really wants to have sex, but the other person's just not doing much work to... Well, I look at as one of the aspects of this is not expanding or working to expand what they find attractive in the world. Mm-hmm. And just kind of like, you're no longer the specific thing that I find sexy. I just don't want to have sex with that. I mean, that's a valid choice, but I think if you're committing to a life...
I feel like that happens less often, though, than people are together a long time and then their desire doesn't fit in the container anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think monogamy is a really interesting concept anyway. So to say I'm going to be only attracted to one person monogamously for like 20 years, 30 years, I don't think most people's natural kind of desires really fit in that box that long. Mm-hmm. So they may start being attracted outside of that primary relationship. But I think it's less to do with maybe somebody aging than, you know, just having that their desire suddenly extends beyond being with that one person.
It's a good way to put it. Their desires aren't contained in the box anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, because we kind of live in, you know, the idea. I have a friend who did a movie called Monogamish, and he explored this topic. But, you know, I think in the way that we're shamed around sexuality, you know, just being a sexual person or around our sexual desires, there's a lot of shaming around not fitting in a monogamous box or, like, that's the right kind of relationship. And wherever you have shame, you have, I think, a lack of conversation. So for people to even be able to say, oh, I don't know, you know, suddenly, you know, maybe I'm attracted to other people, but I still want to be with you. But I think we're also shut down that there isn't a lot of authentic conversations. I think I just feel like that's what happens more often than it being just about maybe aging or body changes.
We've been talking for a while and I've been holding back a question.
Oh my God.
So are you going to tell me how to give a tantric boob massage or what?
Oh my God. Absolutely. I could show you.
We're in public.
We're in a lobby.
How do we talk about it? Because, like, I am all, I mean, I'm not all boob play, but, like, I'm a big fan in certain circumstances.
Yeah.
Enough arousal.
Yes.
Go for it.
Yes.
So, I'm like, what you got? I mean, there's a lot has happened to this chest. So I'm just like, what up?
You're like, what hasn't happened yet?
Yeah. I imagine kind of like the health practitioner breast cancer screening where they kind of do that, like,
yeah, that's
really
like the opposite of the tantric version. That's again with the shaming. They're like, so grab your breasts, don't enjoy it.
No, it actually feels quite nice when they do it.
Oh, really?
They do this like soft circular motion around, not touching the areola. Mm. And I just go, this is oddly.
I think you're just getting turned on. It's just you're like, a nurse is touching my boob. It's naughty.
My dad, no fetish is related to it. It's just kind of nice. Yeah, how do you do it? You whisper to it first?
You know, so the difference with Tantra is breathing. So it's a lot of learning how to do very, like, deep breathing and then how to ride the edge of foreplay for a really long time. And to do that until they can start having multiple orgasms. So the tantric breast massage is amazing because a lot of women who've never had multiple orgasms or even ever had an orgasm can then, like, learn how to relax and through the extended kind of foreplay have their first orgasm or many multiple orgasms. Women are amazing because women can have endless orgasms. Like, women are, we're so amazing how sexual we are.
It is impressive as hell.
Yeah, no, the female body is like a wonder of orgasms.
Good stuff.
Yes.
Sub question, when you say orgasm, do you mean triggering genital focused muscular contractions?
So this is what's fascinating is that through nipple stimulation, there's a hormone released called oxytocin, which is love and bonding hormone. And when oxytocin is released in your body through pinching the nipples, then the vaginal walls contract. So by stimulating nipples, you actually do have vaginal contractions, even without any vaginal stimulation. So
I believe that. I have both those things.
Yes, it's amazing. And I worked with a scientist at Rutgers University, and he did brain scans showing.
I've heard of this
person.
Yes,
Barry Komisurek. And now, this is what blew my mind. When we talk about how powerful your mind is and how powerful, like, shame is and what you will allow yourself to experience sexually and sensually. Is that he had a group of women who said that they were anorgasmic. They couldn't have orgasms. And then he had them in an MRI machine to do a brain scan while they were self-stimulating. And their brain scan showed that the areas of the brain responsible for orgasm were lit up. So their brain was having an orgasm. And their genitals were lubricated with extra blood flow. But the women would say, I feel nothing. So that's how powerful. Your mind can literally tell you, it feels nothing when your brain and your body are having orgasms. And so that's why we say your brain is, or your mind is your most powerful sex organ, because if you don't believe you can enjoy yourself that much or you can let yourself go to have that kind of pleasure, that kind of orgasm, then you literally won't feel it even if it's happening in your body.
Okay.
So the psychology of that is fascinating.
That is interesting. I guess... Yeah, the boob genital combo. Also, I mean, there's so many guys, like, who just...
Well, so this is interesting. So men, he did the same brain scan, and when men's nipples were stimulated, the same areas of their brain for orgasm lit up, and the men would say, I don't feel anything. Why? Oh. Because men are taught to be ashamed of that. That would be emasculating.
Oh, I guess I had some...
So their brain is saying yes to the orgasm, but they literally like, no, that doesn't feel good. I don't enjoy that. Or the, like, I'm ticklish, you know, because they're uncomfortable.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yes.
So then what do you do? So should I do deep breaths and slow?
You do what I call the bliss breath. So you kind of, you constrict the back of your throat a little bit. And when you inhale and exhale, breathe through your nose. I call it sexy Darth Vader breathing. So you should really hear... Oh. Usually hear the inhale and exhale, but just through your nose. Mm-hmm. And you'll feel like if you do that, you'll start to feel calm and relaxed and kind of, it's almost hypnotic.
Yes.
But like sensually hypnotic. And so when you're doing that, then you start to kind of do these very light feather light touches around like your breast. So like tease yourself, go around, don't touch the nipple, go like around, but with a deep breath.
Okay.
And you do the deep breath and then like coming and teasing around the nipple. And then you would wait until the nipple's like aroused. Mm-hmm. And then when you start to, you can roll your nipple between your thumb and your
slow
forefinger.
Slow breathing the entire time.
Whole time. The whole secret is to do that breathing the whole time.
Okay.
And then when you kind of roll your nipple, then you get a pinch and it might hurt, like feel like it hurts a little bit.
Now you're doing like a claw, like two nails on both sides.
Yeah, but it might feel like it hurts a little bit. But then just when that kind of like feeling of pain comes up, if you breathe deep, then it kind of goes into waves and waves of pleasure.
Is it a moment of pinching or do you hold?
You can kind of do like a steady, like you, if you're giving somebody this massage, you just watch how their body's responding. But like I said, if you know, like when I've given women this breast massage, sometimes they'll be like, oh, that hurts. And then you say, breathe deep. And a second later, like, oh my God. And they're like, their whole body starts convulsing with orgasms. Because that very, like that kind of edge between pain and pleasure and that foreplay and really just kind of like taking yourself to the limit of what you can feel sensually.
Okay. So we're going light ticklish boob, then
I call it feather light touch. Like the less, like you're almost grazing, you know, your skin. Like as if it was tip of a feather
like
touching
your
skin.
Almost annoying.
Not annoying. It shouldn't feel annoying. It should feel like really, really good.
Okay. Find the really good.
Really good.
So if someone's feather light and annoyed, they should go a little bit firmer, maybe.
Yeah. If they're feather light and annoyed, then they should go a little more firm.
And then you go areola. Same stuff.
Yeah. Kind of go around. You can even start a little bit. Like I'll start at the rib cage and then work around the breast.
I'm getting all the visuals of her. Like she's like looking at me deeply while she's like
in the lobby of the hotel. I'm now like circling my nipple.
And once the nipple is erect, then start to play with the nipple.
Yeah. You got to wait till it's erect. Otherwise, it's not pleasurable. So kind of because
just
a
like
lot of this tantra is like the foreplay. Wait until the body starts sort of like begging for more.
Yes.
So wait until the body's like it wants more and it wants more.
It's important.
And then keep having the person receiving breathe deep and you tease it out and you tease it out.
Now, they're already breathing deep and then you pinch the nipple. So then they breathe deeper.
Yeah. So then like, let's say pinch the nipple and they're like you feel it. And it's like, now just keep breathing deep. And they go into that. And then suddenly that thing that felt like a pinch or the pain becomes waves and waves of that kind of shaking orgasm.
So naturally we suck in air when we're shocked at a sensation of a little bit of pain. And so force yourself to go a little deeper breathing. And then from there kind of let go and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so, and you,
I know you have a whole class on this.
Yeah.
What's the website?
It's psalmisadora.com. And I have my, the Tantra Massage video series. And beautiful series. And the girl that I worked with on that had never had an orgasm with a partner before. And then we did the video and that was the first time she was sort of able to let go by doing the deep breathing and have an orgasm with a partner, which is really, really beautiful.
I'm in.
Yes. But it's really the breathing just takes it to this whole other level, both like physically and I think spiritually. Because I think, you know, sex should be a spiritual experience. We should, I think, be able to feel like our energy connect, be willing to like be more intimate. Sandra, have you ever looked anyone in the eye when you're having an orgasm?
Yes.
Isn't that hot?
Yes.
I think like it's kind of that like deeper connection. You know, you're like, spiritually connect.
It's so powerful. It's mm-hmm. scary.
Yeah, that's so what I mean. But it's, I think we're so scared of that. Like, we're so scared to connect that deeply or to let people see us or to be intimate. And that's what I mean by spiritual is like, you're like, it's more of a, like letting your soul connect.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think some people are braver and more. Okay. You know how, like, when you're on a, not you're on a bus. When am I on a bus? But like in a public place mm-hmm. or at a restaurant and like something embarrassing happens where like somebody's credit card is declined and yeah. there's like that awkward
and we all look away.
It.
We're like,
right. And some people love watching those moments and they keep looking.
Right.
And I totally just look down and I'm like, I can't handle this tension. I've never been the person who looks. Mm. I'm very much like, I'm overstimulated pretty easily.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're like, don't you just love how intense it is when you look at somebody while you orgasm? I'm like, yeah. Oh, God. I do love eye contact during intimacy. Like, that's super hot.
Yeah. I think it goes both ways. Like, I like to close my eyes sometimes because then I just go inside my own experience of pleasure. And then when I open my eyes to really feel that like connection. Yeah.
I also punch things when I orgasm sometimes. Not people.
Yeah. Not people.
Not people. No,
yeah.
Not people.
I don't punch people, but maybe a little scratching.
Oh. No, I scare people sometimes. Like, I will punch a pillow. I will punch a headrest and it will be a moment.
I'm like, you know? That was good.
Yeah. I think it's just the more stressed out I am in my day or like more stressful my week is, like, yeah, I might punch some stuff.
Yeah, there was a great video series where a woman was like, dick will make you slap somebody. Like, if it's really good, you're just like, slap, slap, slap.
What is that from? You'd mention that.
That's from the, there was a woman at a public access TV show. It's amazing.
Yes.
Called Vagina Power. Alexis Tyler.
It's like an old woman?
Yes, she was amazing. She was just like, and vagina power. And she was talking about, like, you know when that sex is so good and dick will make you crazy, dick will make you slap somebody.
Oh, yeah. I know those dicks. Oh, man. We've been talking for a while, and I just had so much fun getting to know you. You're just so full of awesome information. And thank you for the breast info part.
Yeah, yeah.
What are your preferred methods of communication in the world? Like, where, how can people find you?
Yeah, people should come on my website, which is psalmisadora.com, and I have lots of free videos there, and I also have my Tantra video series teaching women how to have multiple orgasms and men how to give women multiple orgasms. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's the best way to get a hold of me.
Cool. Okay, so everything there.
Mm-hmm. Everything is right there.
All right. Are you on the Twitter?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I'm also on the Twitter at Psalm Isadora, and I'm on Instagram at Psalm Isadora.
Okay. So everywhere.
Everywhere. Worldwide at Psalm Isadora.
Psalm with a P.
Psalm with a P. Psalmisadora.
Cool.
Silent P.
What was this cult that you were in?
It was pretty intense. I mean, it was like I said, I grew up wearing a bonnet. And it was very religious, and I think, like, you know, we were supposed to live like pioneers, like Little House on the Prairie.
You're not going to name the name of the...
It was called the Lord's Land.
Lord's Land?
Yeah. Huh. Northern California. I mean, it was, I think, both like a blessing and a curse, however you want to think of it. You know, I think all superheroes have to have a curse.
Yeah, your origin story. It really is like an amazing kind of. Oh my goodness, you're gonna have an origin story movie someday.
Ah.
Oh my goodness, you're gonna be running through the field with a bonnet, and next thing you're gonna be, you just need a cape right now.
Like, I am Vagina Liberator. I mean, I do think though, if you can take the things in your life that have been painful to you, and find a way to heal yourself, but then and then actually find a way to be powerful enough to help heal other people and give that a purpose, a life's purpose and a mission. I mean, I feel really lucky for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much for joining me and spending some time in this lobby with people checking you out. rock on with your bad self.
I will. I will just keep rocking on with my bad self. With
fun.
zero fucks left to give.
Zero fucks. Bye.
Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.
Today's sponsor is Casper Mattresses, obsessively engineered American-made mattresses at a shockingly fair price. Now, I, Sandra Doherty, used to sell mattresses. It was a brief time in my life. I loved doing it, and I care about this stuff. So I love that they're sponsoring this show. You can get $50 toward any mattress purchase by going to casper.com/Sandra and using code Sandra, S-A-N-D-R-A, deep throat that A. So much time is spent in bed, my friends, boinking, sleeping, pillow talk. You deserve a delicious experience. You really do. So, God, I've slept on a Casper mattress. It's just the right sink, just the right bounce. Two technologies. It's a hybrid of latex foam and memory foam. It's fantastic. So they've got a risk-free trial and return policy. This is bonkers. They'll deliver it straight to you. You can try it for 100 days. That's almost over 3 months. And if you're not happy, they'll pick it back up. That's right. So at the store, maybe you'll get a minute to try out a mattress. But with Casper, you'll actually get to sleep on it. It's $500 for a twin-sized mattress and $950 for a king-sized mattress. That's ridiculously affordable compared to industry averages if you go to a mattress store. That's an outstanding price point. So get $50 toward any mattress purchase by going to casper.com/Sandra and using code Sandra, S-A-N-D-R-A. Terms and conditions apply.